Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Attachment by Beautiful Display 371. I had just graduated from high school when this happened. This is a very long recollection of what happened, but I want to give as much detail as I can so you can get a sense of exactly how the interaction went down and how it affected me. Also, for a bit of info, we live in and around the Appalachians. This happened about 2 or 3 years ago, but it still haunts me today. I was with a group of people that I knew. One of my friends suggested that we all go hang out at a place that they used to go to often. Not thinking anything of it, we all agreed. This was a place in and around the town square, which becomes kind of important for later. We'll call this place the Amp. It's not a real name. That's just what we'll call it here. We didn't know a lot about the history of this place before going, other than the usual small town gossip. The part of the Amp that we were in was below a small paved hill leading to a broken, falling apart building. The building was made of brick and was missing huge chunks of two walls diagonal to each other. While walking toward the building, at the top of the paved hill, I started feeling off. The closer we got, the worse the feeling became. I hadn't even seen the building yet, as it was covered by trees, but as soon as the building did come into view, there was a feeling of absolute dread weighing on my chest. I paused for a second before my sister caught my attention to keep moving. We got to the gravel walkway leading to the building, and my pace slowed down dramatically. A couple of people walked in no problem, while I just watched from the opening in the wall. My sister was beside me. I attempted to slowly walk in as well, but it was like there was an invisible wall stopping me from taking a single step inside. It felt like a pressure in the center of my chest, pushing me away. This went on for a few more attempts, becoming increasingly more difficult, until I was finally able to walk just a bit. Once I made it inside, I walked very slowly while looking around the single-room building. Without realizing it, I stopped in the center of the room. I started to feel worse in that moment, like I was being hypnotized. And that's when I felt it. This presence behind me. Invisible hands slowly raked from my back to the top of my shoulders. I was frozen in fear and unable to speak. My sister looked at me confused and asked if I was okay. I couldn't answer, only blankly stared at her as she repeated the question. After not getting a response the second time, she looked at me in silence for a few seconds while I stared blankly back. Then, as if realizing exactly what was happening, her face dropped, and she said to everyone else, just barely loud enough, "We need to leave now. It's time to go." And she said it twice as she gently grabbed my arm and guided me to the exit. Everyone else was understandably confused, and when they asked my sister what was happening, she just repeated what she had already said. Once out and back at the top of the paved hill, my sister stopped and asked me again if I was okay. I could speak now, but only barely. I replied in a whisper, saying that I didn't know. She took me into the main town square and sat me down on a bench. She asked again with a heavy, concerned look on her face. I said that I was better, but not much. Something else suggested that we move to the opposite side of the square, away from the amp. So that's what we did. Once sitting over there, I started to feel noticeably better. I was able to explain in some detail what had happened. Everyone either believed me or wanted to, but just couldn't. As we sat there, after a few moments, I started to feel like I was being watched again. I felt my eyes move on their own towards the other side of the square, closer to the amp. I looked at a dark open doorway and I saw a dark figure, just about as tall as the door, standing straight and still. It wasn't trying to be discreet. Its full form was in the doorway, feet shoulder width apart, arms at its sides, looking directly at me. I asked my friend beside me if she saw something there too, and she said, yeah, peeking around the corner. I thought to myself, why did they see it differently than I did? We decided to walk back to our friend's house, a few roads away from the square. As we walked, I felt it following. It was getting closer and closer, then backing away, then doing that all over again. Each time it touched either one of my arms or occasionally one of my legs. Every time it came into contact with one of my limbs, that limb grew more and more numb until I just couldn't move it. By the time we made it to the friend's house, almost all of my limbs were completely numb, and I was limping. When we got to the house, I sat on the couch, and slowly the feeling came back to my body, but I still felt that presence for an entire year after this encounter. After that full year, it just left. But even to this day, I still feel like it's watching me. Years later, we all still refuse to go back there.
Strangeness in Copenhagen by Samuel. I live in Copenhagen, and I've had some strange experiences while living here. I moved here in 2008, and although I'm currently 45 years old, I've never had any strange experiences until I moved here. I've wondered if it's a ley lines thing, but whenever I try looking up maps, I get very different results, depending on the website. So I'm essentially no wiser than before. I'll share three weird things, although there have been many others. These all took place at night while I was out biking, which as a certified weirdo and night owl is something that I love to do while listening to music or podcasts, Odd Trails of course being one of them. One night, while near a large open field, I observed what I thought was a light from a plane in the sky. The light looked like a star but was moving. However, I noticed that it was moving vertically. It was actually slowly gliding up and down. Then I noticed there were two other similar lights next to the first light, and they were moving in the same strange way. They were more out towards the horizon and doing that strange vertical gliding up and down for a few minutes at least. If they hadn't been moving, they would have looked identical to stars. I got my first smartphone in 2010. So I didn't have anything to film it with me at the time. The second incident, I was biking and saw what looked like a spider wandering down a thread hanging from a lamppost. The closer I got, It looked to be a bit too big to be a local spider. We definitely get some rather large spiders in the late summer, but this was more like a large tarantula in a size we definitely don't have. When I got closer, I saw that it was actually some kind of floating orb. I couldn't make out what was inside of it, but the orb itself looked translucent, and there appeared to be something inside. As soon as I approached it, though, it hovered off and went into the night. I have absolutely no idea what it could have been. My mind wanted to think that it was some kind of insect, but at the same time, I can't think of any insect that's twice the size of a tennis ball that also slowly hovers and stops in midair while glowing. The scariest thing I've seen in Copenhagen, though, was at a beach up north. It was also at night. I went swimming, and as I was changing out of my clothes, I saw a black figure, perhaps half the size of a human, with its arms outstretched, come descending down from the sky and out towards the sea. It was solid black, and I couldn't make out a face, just that it was humanoid in shape, and it seemed to be wearing some kind of black cloak. As soon as it reached the sea level, it glided out across the sea and continued out towards Sweden. There was a couple about 100 meters away who also saw it. I could see them looking and pointing at it. I never approached them to talk about what we had seen, but in hindsight, I wish I had. Maybe they managed to film some of it. I'm not a religious person, and I don't think I believe in demons, but if creatures like this exist, then I can at least understand why people would think they were demonic beings, just based on what it looked like. It's actually messed with my mind quite a bit, because previously I might have believed in aliens, but more on a theoretical and scientific level. But now, having seen what I saw, I almost feel like anything is possible, and that scares me.
When your legs don't work like they used to, by Virtual Buster. This happened yesterday, and I have a witness. My 20-year-old daughter. I'll keep it as short as possible. This past Sunday, Mother's Day, I spent the day with my family. We did a nice outdoor walk and had a good dinner together. I went to take a shower, and I was sitting on the lid of the toilet writing a quick email. I went to stand up and I almost fell through the glass of the shower door. I was shocked to realize that my legs and feet were completely numb or dead from the knee down. There was no warning, no pins and needles. I wasn't sitting on my legs or sitting with my legs crossed or in a weird position. There was no pressure on them where the circulation would have been cut off. Anyway, the feeling came back after about 30 seconds. And now my feet and ankles are bruised and sore from flopping around. That's the backstory of what happened. On Monday, I called my doctor, and she told me to come in after work. I had my 20-year-old daughter drive me. I'm in there for an hour, and then I come out with a note that I can't drive until I have an emergency MRI. My daughter opens Spotify and puts on a rap playlist. City Girls is playing, a rap group. And we're talking about what we're having for dinner. The song ends, and out of nowhere, Ed Sheeran's song, Thinking Out Loud, starts to play. When your legs don't work like they used to, and we hear, when your legs don't work like they used to, and then it immediately switched to a similar rap song, but in the middle of it, like that's what it was playing the whole time. My daughter and I looked at each other. Her phone was on the console and out of reach. No one touched it or changed the song, and the screen was black. I asked her if she was messing with me, and she said, "How?" She was scared, and so was I. Keep in mind, my daughter would stick a knife in her eye before listening to Ed Sheeran, so it's not like it was on her Spotify liked songs, playlists, or stations. I'm still thinking about it. Well, when we got home, she checked the phone and there were no signs of that song playing. It showed what had been played, but no Ed Sheeran. What are the odds of that happening? I also forgot to mention that she was in the car with her phone the whole time when I was in the doctor's office. I had chills for like an hour. She didn't Google anything about my symptoms or anything similar, so what do you guys think?
The Spirit Who Saved Me by Savannah. My story contains references to my mental health and trauma. I grew up as a believer, and most of my family believes in the paranormal as well. When I was around 9 or 10 years old, my parents separated. My mother, my baby brothers, and I went to stay with my aunt and cousins. Shortly after moving into their house, they discovered a half bathroom that had been completely boarded up. We hadn't even been there a week when things began happening. It felt like whatever had been trapped inside that bathroom didn't want me there. I started waking up feeling like I was being choked or attacked, sometimes covered in bruises and scratches that I couldn't explain. Family members who checked on me during the night claimed they sometimes saw a dark shadow hovering over me while I slept. The final incident happened the next morning. I was standing at the top of the staircase, talking to my cousin, who was at the bottom. As she looked up at me, I could see the horror spread across her face. A moment later, I felt hands pressed against my back. Then I was pushed down the stairs. The fall was extremely painful. She later told me she had seen a large shadow come up behind me. After that, my mother took me and my siblings away from the house. I never went back. Less than a year later, the house burned down. Eventually, my parents got back together, and we moved into an old farmhouse. There seemed to be a little girl haunting that house. My mother and I experienced her more than anyone else. I would occasionally see her walking between the kitchen and living room. She also liked hiding things, and if we asked for them back, they often reappeared soon afterward. She would sometimes lock one of us in the bathroom while the other was showering, almost as though she found it funny. When I became a teenager, I began seeing a man. To this day, I don't know who he is or what he is. At first, seeing him terrified me. Over time, though, I came to feel relieved whenever he appeared, because I never felt threatened by him. My teenage years were difficult, and especially during two traumatic moments, I felt as though this spirit intervened and kept me alive. The first time, I lost consciousness and later became aware of him holding me upright. I heard his voice. It was deep, calm, and reassuring. It's not time yet. The second time, I again felt him intervene before I lost consciousness completely. Once more, I heard those same words. It's not time yet. After that, the dreams began. In the first, he held out his left hand to me. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I knew he urgently wanted me to take it. Instead, I woke up crying. The second dream left me with one thing I have never forgotten. November 18th, 1923. I still don't know the significance of this date. In the third dream, I stood outside a prison cell while he sat inside, heartbroken. Someone behind me asked, "What did he do?" Without turning around, I replied, "What he did, we don't speak of. It was such evil." He looked up at me and begged me to forgive him. Again, I woke up crying. Later in my life, after another traumatic experience, I isolated myself for several days. During that time, I would sometimes feel his arms around me. Sometimes it even felt like he was gently playing with my hair. His presence always brought me a sense of peace. I've only recently started trying to learn who this spirit might be. Part of me wonders if he's connected to a past life, though I have no way of knowing. Maybe I'll never find an answer. All I know is that, whenever I was at my lowest, he was there.
Real Life NPCs by It's Who Who. I wouldn't believe this story if it didn't happen to me, and I would probably have questioned myself if my mother hadn't also been there and seen the same thing. My mom and I were shopping in this little mall for furniture. Now, by little mall, I mean it only had maybe 10 to 15 stores that only sold furniture, electronics, homewares, etc. It didn't have the traditional multiple entrances or food courts or anything else normal malls have. It did have one small cafe, though. The whole mall was pretty much empty. It was the middle of the day during the work week, so not many people were out and about. My mom and I were looking specifically for mattresses, so we kept hopping around the bedding stores. To get to the next store, we had to walk past the cafe. There were tables and chairs inside the cafe that were empty, but outside the cafe, in the walkway of the mall, there was a row of tables for couples set up. Maybe five tables with two chairs each. All of these were full. Approaching the cafe, my mom made a comment that it was weird that all these people were sitting at the cafe when there was no one else around the mall. And I agreed. As we walked past them, it seemed like they were all talking at the same time. All their mouths were moving as if deep in conversation, but as we walked along the line of tables and chairs, we couldn't make out a single word. It just sounded like background noise. We were walking close enough to definitely pick up a word or two. Think of the classic, "and they were roommates fine," but nothing, just a bunch of people staring at each other and talking, but not saying any actual words. My mom and I were squeezing each other's arms the whole time, and when we finally passed the cafe, we immediately started talking about how weird it felt. It felt like they weren't real people. It didn't feel like we were in the presence of people, if that makes sense. It felt like an empty mall despite the cafe's patrons chatting at these tables. By the time we had finished at the store and came out again, the cafe was empty. We were in there for about 20 minutes. We still talk about it to this day, but no one else really gets how weird it felt. You just had to be there. And now, NPCs, or weird humanoid creatures, are a reoccurring theme in my nightmares.
My Strange Experiences by Beth. I have two separate stories to share. I came home from work one day and set my keys in what I call my lazy bowl, which sits next to my front door, and I went about my day. I didn't leave the house or touch the keys at all after that. But the next morning, the keys were gone. I emptied the bowl, checked my purse, looked under the couch, and even searched the refrigerator, because I've done things like that before. I also made sure all my doors were still locked, and my car wasn't stolen. It wasn't. Finally, I gave up and just used my spare key to leave for work. When I came home that evening, I brought the spare key with me into my bedroom, to hang up on a hook to make sure I didn't lose that set of keys either. Then, as I was getting changed, I saw that my main set of keys were laying in the middle of my bed. I tried to convince myself that I had carried them upstairs without remembering, but the only reason I returned upstairs was when I first realized my keys were missing. I made my bed that morning, and the keys were resting directly on top of the comforter. I can't make sense of it. Around that same time, I started having strange moments where I seemed to know things before they happened. Nothing dramatic at first. I would think of someone I hadn't spoken to in years, and they would message me within a few minutes. Once, while driving home, I suddenly pictured a large dog standing in the road. The image was so clear that I slowed down. A few seconds later, a similar-looking dog ran out in front of my car. The strangest one involved my sister. I woke up at 3:07 one morning with the overwhelming feeling that she was crying. I called her, but she didn't answer. The next day, she told me she had woken up from a nightmare at exactly 3 a.m. and had been crying in her bathroom when I called her. After that, I started noticing the number 307 everywhere. Receipts would total 307. I would pause a video at 307, or 307 would be remaining. Hotel rooms, order numbers, even the mileage on my car seemed to land on some version of it. I know that once you notice a number, your brain starts looking for it. I understand that. But then my grandmother died on March 7th. And the night before she passed, I had a dream that she was standing in my kitchen. She said to me, "You keep looking in the wrong places." Even though things like my missing keys have happened before, I don't think she was referring to missing items. I really don't know. I also haven't seen her since. Do you or any listeners have any idea what her message could have meant?
The Place I Had Never Been To Before by The Girl in the Cave. For the last 5 to 6 years, I had a very specific recurring setting/scenario constantly appear in my head on and off. It's always the same type of place, an outdoor entertainment or shopping area at night with bright lights, open walkways, restaurants, staircases, palm trees, neon signs, people everywhere, etc. The layout always felt strangely familiar and detailed, and in these recurring scenarios, I'm usually running around trying to get somewhere. A few days ago, my family and I were on our way to Disneyland when we passed by this outdoor area near the parks. I looked over at it and constantly got this overwhelming feeling of familiarity, like, why do I know this place? I had never been there before, which was what made it so unsettling. The more I looked outside of it, the more I realized this was the exact place that had repeatedly appeared in my mind for years. I later looked it up online and I found out it was the Anaheim Garden Walk. Once I started scrolling through the photos, my stomach genuinely dropped because it matched almost perfectly. The atmosphere, the walkways, the lighting. What freaks me out is that I had never knowingly seen this place before in my life. I never visited it, never walked through it, nothing. Yet somehow it felt deeply familiar the second I saw it. Has anyone experienced something like this before? Recognizing a place you've never been to? All right, let's jump into the feedback. Frank Rizzo, referencing episode 241 from 2 weeks ago, the story about the Tiger Direct package that arrived in one day in the early 90s when the person sent the check, you know. So they said, okay, odd, yes, but To get an order the next day, super fast delivery, I don't see the paranormal connection, nor do I see a complaint. I absolutely would have ordered from that company again. And obviously, yeah, it's great, but if it's not paranormal, then what?
Yeah, it still takes time for the check to get through the mail for Tiger Direct to receive it, let alone ship it. Like, that's way too quick for not an online order.
Yeah, and this was before internet orders were ever even a thought. It was by mail, like you said, paper check. I'll gladly accept a logical explanation. And, you know, I'm expecting one from you next week, Rizzo.
So Loretta actually had a really good response to the Tiger Direct story. Well, she says, we are so cooked, chat, and that had her chuckling, I'm glad. But she says that maybe the post office handled TD mail differently by giving all their mail to a special department, and that department opened those letters and made those calls to fulfill the orders all over the world. I looked at it like TD was a broker. The items were at various stores everywhere, so the screen was at a Piggy Wiggly, Mervyn's, Fedco, etc., near the author, so it was quickly delivered. Didn't even wait for the check to clear. Oh, okay. Wow. You're cooking with fire now.
That's a good one. Thank you for referencing Mervyn's, one of my favorite now defunct stores, I believe. I don't think there are any Mervyn's left.
No, yeah. I thought ours was the only one. I only ever knew of the one that was near us.
Yeah, and I've heard of Piggly Wiggly, but I've never seen one. I don't know anything about it. I've just heard the name before.
Mm-hmm, same.
My favorite now defunct shopping establishment, or what would you say, department store, is Montgomery Ward. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I don't really recall shopping there much, but I remember what it was. For me, it's KB Toys.
Oh, I loved KB Toys too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember ours. And yeah, Montgomery Ward, I remember everyone used to call it Wards, but it was just kind of like a department store that had electronics and clothes like anything else.
Mm-hmm. Radio Shack, another good one.
Yeah, Radio Shack was great. Yeah. Yeah, but no, that's a great explanation. I would actually buy that. If somebody told me that was the answer, I would believe it easily. That it's crazy good service, like insanely good service. So
yeah.
So we have some spicy stuff this week from listeners.
Oh.
Yeah, they were a little irritated. JH says, Snopes, and this is all in caps, Snopes is not a legitimate website. They flat out lie all the time.
Exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So here's the thing. Snopes does back up their claims with sources. It's not like they just say things. If you go to the article about the Fruit of the Loom thing, you'll see it. Everything that I talked about from the Fruit of the Loom article has sources. And I'm not saying that we should blindly trust websites. Even Wikipedia can get things wrong, even though they cite sources. But you can at least use the sources to come up with a probable conclusion of your own and ignore Snopes completely and just use the sources that they put on there. And I think you'd probably come up with the same answer. However, if you have some examples of Snopes lying, by all means, share it with us so we can put them on blast, because I use Snopes all the time. I always have, and I always check the sources. So by all means, let me know so that I can stop using them.
It's a lot like Wikipedia. Of course, anybody can go on there and edit things, but as long as you check the sources and you know the sources are legit, it's all good. Even with like scientific experiments or whatever, you would want to at least see how a study was done, how many people were part of the study, what the controlled variables were. Like, there's a lot. You can go down checking sources and checking the sources methods, and there's a lot to really confirm things. But yeah, it's a lot of work, but worth doing to be informed.
It's kind of like when they say there's a study that shows blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's like,
I heard
yeah.
it in an article.
Yeah, but then you look at the study and it's like, oh yeah, this isn't exactly conclusive. It's one study. Who's funding this study? You know what I mean? So I totally get it. Yeah, I totally get it.
9 out of 10 dentists, and they only ask 10 dentists and paid them off.
Totally.
And Kat Hollister says, the Chicagoland area has a large Hispanic population and the food is so good. My little northern Illinois town has 4 authentic Mexican restaurants that we rotate weekly. I am jealous. I've only found a couple, but however, I will say some of the best Mexican food I've had in Utah was at the mall in Ogden. You would not expect it. The Newgate Mall, check out that Mexican food. There's only, I think, one that's in there by the food court, but it is beyond good. Some carne asada tacos. I don't remember the name, but yeah, it's so good.
It's kind of like that gas station Mexican restaurant that we went to with your dad.
Yeah.
It's like a little convenience store that also had Mexican food and a couple of tables. And it was amazing. It blew my mind.
I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah. But I do want to address there were some angry listeners that I think they just misunderstood what we were saying last week about Chicago being a dangerous place. And that's, I think we said all we know about Chicago is it's not necessarily a safe place or something like that. But I would say that about any densely populated city.
We're not saying that's all that exists.
Yeah, of course not. And obviously we're exaggerating. I know a lot more about Chicago, you know, but we're just being deliberately obtuse just to make a point. Any urban city is going to be like that. I live just outside of the urban city because I had to move out because it was too densely populated. And you don't leave your car unlocked. You don't walk alone at night. It's stuff like that. Like, that's just obvious stuff from any big city. And that's kind of what we meant. We weren't saying that Chicago specifically is a bad place to be.
Yeah, I haven't been there and I don't really know a whole lot about it, obviously. Just what I've seen online and from people that actually live there. Known a few people that are at least from the suburban surrounding areas and they try to avoid it. But like with anywhere, there's going to be good and bad parts. And I'm sure there's more to Chicago than just deep dish and crime. It's one of those cities where I haven't ever planned to go visit, but I may end up someday and I hope I do. Kind of like Philadelphia. Never thought that was on my radar, but I ended up there last year. Enjoyed it. Loved it. Good cheesesteak. Great people. Let's make it happen with Chicago.
Yeah, I was so excited to be visiting there and doing a show. But like I said, it got canceled for, I think that one was canceled because of all the flights getting canceled last fall or something. I don't know. Anyway, let's get to some stories. I want to talk about my attachment story from the author Beautiful Display. The way that the author describes the sensations that they were experiencing at this seemingly haunted location, this abandoned building, it immediately made me think of some kind of like infrasound. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's like those low frequency sounds that we can't actually hear with our ears, but they like affect your body and your nervous system. And you can do this with like a, almost like a binaural beats type thing. It affects your nervous system. And yeah, it kind of got me thinking about that. Like it can cause dread, chest pressure, and basically everything that the author experienced. And, you know, I started looking into this after I read the story and I found that old buildings, like the one they were talking about, can do this. They act like these, like unintentional instruments is what I read. And there's this thing called the vortex shedding, where wind can blow around the rigid edge of like a corner of a building if it's broken up just the right way and has the right wind speed, and it like sheds turbulent vortices. I think I'm saying that right. This is all just stuff that I just learned about. And the sound lands like right in that infrasonic range. So, you know, you could be standing near one of these doorways and the wind comes around the edge and it just affects you that certain way. I'm just grasping at straws to try and explain this away. But, you know, then again, we've got her sister also seeing this weird being that was in the doorway. And she saw the being peeking around the corner, not standing in the doorway. So they saw this being two different ways. And then she felt like this being was following her all throughout, you know, this entire year of her life. So it doesn't necessarily explain everything away, but it does explain some of the sensations. Maybe it was anxiety. I know anxiety can cause all of these things to happen, but the author seems to be fairly certain that this was truly some type of attachment to them.
It very well could be. I've also heard of people claiming that they're getting attacked by EMP attacks, essentially, but into our brains, which is not too far-fetched. There's been a lot of cases about that. And not necessarily like, oh, we're going to fry your hard drive remotely, but things that are able to indirectly or directly, I guess, affect our brains and our bodies using electric machines. So who knows? No, not to make you paranoid, author, but that's what it makes me think of.
Like direct energy weapons.
Exactly. Yeah.
That stuff scares me. I mean, we hear rumors that the government or like top secret organizations have these technologies that they can, you know,
oh, it's a real thing.
Literally just control you with certain frequencies, like just beaming frequencies into your body, into your brain or into your house. And listen, that's so not fiction to me. Like that makes so much sense.
No. I mean, even sound cannons are super scary.
Yeah, that's terrifying. That's one of those things where, unlike throwing your voice, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, it really is.
It's so scary.
Sign me out of that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of places that we don't know very much about, how about Copenhagen, Denmark? Now that sounds like a wonderful place to visit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, as far as Samuel's stories, those different occurrences that he experienced, what do you think about that black figure that he saw? Like the orbs in the sky, all that, pretty interesting still on their own. But to see that solid black faceless figure, and he said it was half the size of a human with outstretched arms.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I thought of was a gargoyle. And I think we've had a few things before that sounded like this.
Yeah.
But I also thought of the first Batman movie, like when Michael Keaton first jumps down from the rooftop, kind of slow. I was thinking of that over the water. But to be described as half a human with long arms in a cloak type of thing, I don't know. For some reason, I just think of a gargoyle.
Yeah, I just thought of an alien because, you know, they're supposed to be short and they have like long arms, little tiny bodies.
Mm.
And that kind of, you know, I just connected that with like the floating orb.
They saw
the star-like lights. I just kind of connected it all as like, oh, this is an alien story.
Interesting.
But it could totally be a gargoyle. I like that because we don't get enough gargoyle stuff. I don't think we have any gargoyle stuff on the show.
Yeah, no, nothing that the author has at least suggested is a gargoyle. I know we've talked about them before, but it could have just been the television show. So this very well may be our first gargoyle discussion as far as a paranormal possibility.
Damn, yeah, Gargoyles was very, very good. A very good show.
Samuel also brought up ley lines, and those have always been interesting to me, but he also brought up a really good point, how the maps don't always agree with each other. You would think if there was some sort of valid consistency with them, you would always see the same spots consistently mentioned, and we could like triangulate or map these points out, and they would have some sort of relevance. And that's not always the case. It sometimes is, but I think it's more interesting to see things like the Egyptian pyramids and how they relate to the stars and finding North and Orion's Belt and everything like that. That's a lot more interesting to me just because of how limited we were back then as far as technology goes, and the ancient Egyptians just figure that out. It's so mind-blowing.
Yeah, I love how smart the ancient Egyptians were with all of that type of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what show I really hate? Ancient Aliens. I really fucking hate that show, man.
It's like a love-hate, right?
It's a love-hate. Like, it puts me to sleep. Like, sometimes I'll throw it on just to fall asleep because I like the guy's narration voice. And sometimes there's an episode that's really interesting. But when they get into, like, these subhuman ancient barbarians could have never built this structure or designed this. And it's like, it comes off as like a little racist, a little like xenophobe. Like, dude.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, they definitely couldn't have done it because they're not modern white, you know, Americans.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they also have another show. Yeah, Hitler was the first time traveler. He was ahead of his time.
Yeah, exactly.
No pun intended.
Yeah, it smacks of like covert racism.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything's a psyop.
It is. So speaking of psyops, NPCs. How do you feel about the whole NPC thing? Do you think there are NPCs on Earth?
I mean, I got to be careful answering this because I think saying that NPCs exist is almost like inherently elitist for some people. Like, it makes everybody who's not an NPC feel more special and everybody else is just a character in their world.
Yeah.
So I don't like that aspect of it, but I'd be lying if I were to say, like, I haven't encountered some people where it's just like, yeah, you are just like just an extra. Like, what are you doing here, bud? Like, where'd you come from? Where are you going and why?
Yeah, they bring nothing to the table.
And that's not even like saying that they're productive members of society. It's just like something is off with some people. That's just like, yeah, they just kind of fill a role.
Yeah, 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 definitely. It's giving. So first off, the mall immediately took me back. Like, their description of the mall took me back to the mall of our hometown that we grew up in.
Yeah.
So while reading it, I was able to kind of place everything exactly where it would be in that mall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, when you read books or stories, do you like recycle familiar places when you build worlds in your head? Like places that you either know or been, or even places that you've seen in TV shows or movies?
Yeah, I try not to, especially if I read a book that I've already seen the movie of. That's a struggle. It's such a struggle. But I think I naturally do that for having a better memory. I do like the room modeling technique where you just assign different rooms and different characters and memory, like memory chunking basically. So I tend to reuse the same locations for that. So when it comes to like reading books or stories, I subconsciously use the same sort of rooms and environments. But I try not to. I try to let my imagination wander, but just out of habit for improving my memory, I tend to use the rooming technique.
Mm. Yeah, whenever I think of a mall or whenever I read about a mall, I just think of our mall that we grew up with. I don't think of any other mall. I can't, unless they start giving descriptors, which I really like. I like when an author will describe the place, not saying like, here's a hallway, then here's a door, this goes to a room on the other side. Not that, but like when they describe, like, you know, what the room felt like, what the color of the wall was and what it reminded them of, you know, just, you know, beautiful descriptors of something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always think of the same few places. So maybe I need to expand my horizons here. There are quite a few different weird quirks with this story though. So they were all these NPCs, apparently, they were all sitting separately in couples. It wasn't like they were in a group, but they all spoke this gibberish and they all disappeared within the same 20-minute span of time. They made this sound without words, I guess that was the description. And just that description in itself is creepy. I don't really like that. But I couldn't help but be reminded of The Sims talk in the video games. And laugh about it when I was reading. I love the way they talk.
They sounded like Teletubbies. It was insane. Yeah,
it was like a whole language. I've never known how to pronounce his name, but I think it's Mark Mothersbaugh, the guy from... Yeah.
Rugrats and everywhere else. Yep.
Yeah.
Devo, yeah.
Yeah, he did the music for that game, which is interesting. He does so much music for so much stuff that I didn't know about. He's a great composer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He is up there for sure.
Yeah, this was actually kind of a funny story. I liked it a lot. It was a little creepy for sure. It kind of had a Doctor Who feel to it, but it was cool.
Yeah, I like it. It makes me want to play The Sims now and watch the Teletubbies.
At the same time,
yeah. It's like, have you seen that video of the guy? I don't know where he's from. He looks like somewhere in the Middle East, maybe, but it's like captioned how Americans sound like to everybody else, and he sounds like straight up like a dude from Texas or something, but he's not saying any actual words. It's weird.
I have to check that out. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really funny. Really weird, really strange, like Beth's strange experiences.
Yeah.
The keys, what's up with those keys?
It's always the keys.
I think it must have been trying to prevent her. I say it like we automatically know it's some sort of thing. Let's just roll with it.
Yeah.
She maybe wasn't meant to be leaving the house at that time, and she was supposed to use the spare keys to get out the door. But I don't know. Like, if you leave your room to go leave the house and you don't find your keys where they belong, you're going to remember if you went downstairs, grabbed your keys, went upstairs, went back downstairs to leave, and the keys weren't there all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So I don't really think that she forgot that she brought her keys upstairs. I don't know.
So we've talked about how much I hate the theory that, like, that's saving you from getting in an accident or something bad happening to you. Because then a lot of the times the people tell the story, they're like, there was an accident down the road and I didn't get into it. And it's like, what about the other people? Yeah. I don't need to repeat all of it. But Katya on Spotify actually had... I hope I'm saying Katya right. I'm just saying it like my favorite way to pronounce it. The guardian angel theory of disappearing objects or dropping everything is not unique to you, Andy. I've seen this a ton of times, and I believe in it too. It's the universe telling you something's up and you need to be late or wait 5 minutes or so. Not saying that there was an accident, just saying that something is up. For example, a week and a half ago, I had backed out of the driveway when I suddenly realized I hadn't grabbed my wallet. I ran back in to get it at what I later learned was probably about the time that my grandma died. So it's not necessarily that it's keeping you away from something bad happening. It's more like the universe talking to you, just telling you something is happening. It's like a coincidence, a divine coincidence. I kind of like,
interesting. Almost like the 307 that Beth's experiencing in this story.
Exactly.
Who knows what it's meant to mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you guys have any other stories, as always, make sure you send them in to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails so you can get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate and check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, Let's Not Meet in the Old Time Radio Cast. We'll see you next week. Stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.